podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Baker's, we work with local farms right in our own backyard to bring you food that's fresher than fresh. From homegrown watermelon that makes your mouth water to crisp corn picked right around the corner. Come pick out some yourself, because shopping for local produce should be as easy as shopping at your local Baker's. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
When you're a Boost member, you get free delivery, double fuel points, and lots more. Sign up at bakersplus.com/boost.
There's fans on the pitch. Everton is going to be in the Premier League next season. It's just an incredible night at Goodison Park. But you were dead and buried. Nick, what do you think of that, mate? You're on the blue room now.
Amazing. What a fucking performance in that second half. Scrappy goals. But every player ran the fucking socks off. Alex Iwobi, what a fucking lad. I've never seen such a turnaround from anyone in a blue shirt in a season. And everyone is so fucking happy for you, Alex. Fucking buzzing. Everyone in the players on that pitch. Fucking amazing.
Bug four. I'm going to get Colin Jones, the old man, on the post-match for the first time ever. I've never seen anything like this.
Absolutely unbelievable. Things like this don't normally happen to Everton. 2-0 down and we come back to win 3-2. Incredible, incredible scenes here at Goodison Park.
Special. The pitch is absolutely rammed. There's blue smoke everywhere. It's just... There's a lot of tears around, and I never want to leave this place. It's a beautiful sight in front of my eyes now. Oh my word, my word. I'm gonna shut up for a few minutes, just don't listen to this.
Down, the men who come from this time to save us, to receive.
What's bigger than today?
Unbelievable, man.
Just describe what you see now.
It was one of the worst 45 minutes and the best 45 minutes of my life, man. Seriously, I've cried, I've fucking shouted at them like I do every week, but you wouldn't change it for the world, would you, man? Fucking up the champion.
That's it. What's your name?
Tony.
Tony, what's figured out today?
Huh?
On the Blue Ring podcast now, what's figured out? What can you say? How good was that?
Oh, fucking the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
It is amazing. Chance meets as many people as I can. But... Honest to God, I cannot see a blade of the grass on the pitch. It's full of blues. To do it as well. 2-0 down. Here we go. Here we go. I'm on now. I'm stood right by. Stood literally on the spot where Dominic Calvert-Lewin nodded that in. Gotta say, it smells beautiful down here, all the grass. Oh, I've got Foxy here with me. I'm recording, mate. What? We're stood on the. Where are we right now? We're on the edge of the box.
Yeah.
What on earth happened there, mate? What about that?
Awesome. Amazing. Wimbledon, 2-0 down. Giving up. 3-2. Amazing. Just
Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Legend. You always called it. You were right. Mosey was wrong. You were right. Amazing.
Well, just describe what you can see here, mate.
Yeah, everyone's on the pitch. I feel quite emotional just from the depths of despair at half time. We're out of the league. No chance against Arsenal to that second half. Never seen anything like it.
Dele Alli, Alex Iwobi.
Love Dele, love Alex. Dele's got to be playing next season. He was awesome. He changed the game at half time. Brilliant swab. But like, just, I can't speak. Amazing scenes. Amazing scenes, mate.
Zach Cars is ringing out. Foxy.
Good to see you,
back, mate. Yeah, great to see you. Right, I think we will leave it there. Everyone's running over to the.
I'll be back somewhere in town to try and unpick all that with a load of people. I don't want to stop recording. I'm not going to stop recording. Okay, we're back at Denby Castle now. I'm not going to say who's going to be on this show because I feel like anyone could come in at any point. Around me at the moment, we've got Mark Mosey, Laura Gates, and Matt Fluss, Keith Tomlin, and Mikosh at the bar. I think Linda Lloyd's coming in at some point as well. We'll pour a trail from Toffee Webb. Anyone could come in. It's like, it is like a Royal Rumble. Mark Mosey, we'll come to you first. Oh my word, mate. Just... Where do you begin? How are you feeling?
I mean, I'm not ready for any of the questions. It's really hard to put into words what it feels like to be on this side of it all. This is a much welcome void in my life now, not having to think about all of the worst things that we've all been through over the last 8-9 months, but it's a very strange feeling. I miss the battle.
I miss feeling like shit. Yeah.
But you know, worryingly, Keith Tomlin is making over. To be continued.
Carry on.
As I was saying, I thought it was vitally important that we won the match tonight.
Game of two halves.
Can I just jump on just to give an idea of the atmosphere? Steven Gerrard's on the telly right now and nobody's noticed.
Yeah, pictures. I mean, people would have noticed if they got beaten and Everton didn't win, but yeah, I mean, I guess we should talk about a game in which for large spells Everton just had no plan and looked pretty poor, and right now I couldn't care less. The 20 minutes before the first goal were great. The 25 minutes after we conceded the first goal was some of the worst I've seen from Everton all season. And the second half was just a blur in which I actually saw a footballer in Dele Alli show composure, the ability to have vision and change a game, as Laura said, and pick out a pass. And albeit he wasn't necessarily pivotal in probably any of the goals, it was probably one of the substitutions that I remember for a long, long time in terms of a footballer coming on. I think we all said before the game, Matt, you even texted me before this afternoon and said, who's going to be our Gareth Farrelly? And not necessarily in terms of the goal-clinching victory, but being that player who picked an Everton team up who were destined to have an awful 48 hours and possibly a calamitous spiral towards the championship. And to pull us out like he did, not single-handedly, because I think that would be harsh on everyone else around him. But I mean, the game will never be forgotten. The goal from Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who was fantastic tonight, will simply never be forgotten. That is one of the iconic Everton goals in that stadium ever. So for your underperforming central number nine to throw himself through the air and score a diving header to save this entire football club, it's just unspeakable joy for a football club who you'd lost all hope were capable of those moments. As much as we've seen them in weeks gone by, what we've seen, the disappointments against Watford, the disappointments of dispatch average to poor football teams, it all went out the window in that last 5 minutes. And as for the last hour of my life, I can't even begin to tell you how weird everything has been, from 10,000 people being on the pitch to seven lads being on the bus stop outside the Brick. It's all just been an enormous blur, but one that I'll never, never forget.
I don't know how to sum that up, to be honest. I mean, my hair's blue, my nails and hands are blue, my face is blue, and I just, at half time, I was sitting.
Oh, Laura's up, Charles just jumped on Laura. We'll come back to Laura in a second. Matt, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm grateful for Mo's being here and he can actually talk about the finer points of the game, because for me it's a game that defies analysis, it defies description. It's just a moment in history, and it's just a moment in time. It's just, it's on the pages already. I mean, obviously we'll remember the goals in years to come. For a few years we'll remember who played well, who didn't play well, who should have been sent off, but bloody hell.
I mean, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, it's like I said, it defies description. I turned to Keith at half time and he was ready to back it in. And I just turned to him and said, look, their second goal, that was very Gary Ablett. That scramble on the ground to stop it going in.
That's a great shot. It's the exact thing I was away saying.
Yeah, so these, I've said it for years on this podcast, football's about the stories. Fucking hell, we got a big one tonight.
The thing that went through my head this week was, you know, Matt said that football is about the stories. You know, whatever our ages or circumstances here, we've been able to live those with Everton for the last 25 years in one of the world's best leagues. And to be able to preserve that, not only for ourselves, but going way grander scale here for our future families, I mean, I haven't got kids, but it's not unthinkable to think that the prospect of my kids watching Everton in the Premier League was at stake tonight. Because we've all been talking about a football club who potentially not only in danger of not playing Premier League football for a couple of years, but we're in danger of really surviving in the form that we know it to be at the moment. As much as you don't necessarily think about that in the 2 hours after the game, and rightly so, because it's about the moment and it's about enjoying tonight in isolation, but to think that the entire picture and the entire image of Everton was about to change 7 minutes before one of our players did a goal is, I don't think that's over-egging the intensity and the sheer volume of what tonight was about. There's obviously a poetry to Everton going 2-0 down and obviously that kind of levelling up with Wimbledon back in 93-94, but it really just didn't think, for primarily in the latter stages of the first half, that we were capable of being that team anymore. We all spoke going to the game tonight about the similarities and the differences with that year. The major difference is that this football team hasn't showed fight. That all changed tonight, mainly in the form of Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
I'm not sure you're going to hear anyone for a bit, but... with me now. Keith, I'm going to try and get around everyone, so it's about 8 or 9 people ready to come on the show here, but mate, how are you feeling after that?
Do you know what, genuinely, I feel like I've been having a heart attack since 7 o'clock this morning, right? We'll come on to that in a minute. Don't worry, I was covering that, right? So, basically, it's something about Everton, isn't it? There's just something beautiful and horrible and disgusting and scripted and magical about this football club, right? They hurt us in so many ways. They cause us so much pain and misery and anger. And every so often, they pull out a moment of pure crystallising fucking joy, like that Calvert-Lewin goal at the end there, right? Now, can you imagine we were good, right? If we were a good side, that ground would have fallen down, right? Now, what I will say is, I'll come back to what Matt said there earlier. He says to me at half time, we were underneath the stand having a pint at half time, and he says to me, I was on the verge of getting the train back to town, because I thought, I'm going to have to go through all this again on Sunday. And he uttered the words, that second goal was very, very, very Gary Ablett in 94. And literally at that point, you can't go home after that, can you, just in case. Like, I didn't believe at any point, but I thought, well, if I go and miss it now, I'll regret it the rest of my days. And I've been there in person for one now. I wasn't there in person for Wimbledon or Coventry or Kevin Campbell scoring like 20 goals in 3 games. So I've done one now. All I can say is, please, Everton Football Club, for the love of God, never again. Right? I never thought I'd be begging for a boring 12th place finish, but here we are. And as Laura's kindly pointed out, I am a man of my word, so at some point in the coming weeks, we will be arranging through the Blue Room socials for the Alex Iwobi tattoo.
I'm sure we can crowdfund that. I'm sure we'll be ready to get that.
Well, what I think is, if we crowdfund it, anything above the cost of the tattoo, we'll give to like Everton in the community or something. Right? We'll find a proper Everton supporting tattoo artist to do the work. Blue Doodler is going to design 2 Iwobi designs.
He's coming on the show soon as well, so.
And what we'll do is we'll put it to a vote on which one we're going to get, and we'll make it happen, because I'm a man of my word, and because he fucking deserves it. There's been a lot of dark points this season, right? And there's not been a lot of light points and a lot of good to focus on, but Alex Iwobi is one of them, and he has completely turned around the fan base, and he has done it through nothing more than the application of hard work and wanting to win. And that is the very, very minimum Everton fans demand, right? And a lot of those players this season haven't given it us, but he has. Every single game, he's put his shift in 110%, and he fucking deserves the plaudits this season. And genuinely, if it wasn't for Jordan Pickford, he's my player of the season. He's been brilliant. So, like we say, coming weeks, keep your eyes peeled on the Blue Room socials, and we'll have an Alex Iwobi tattoo for you all.
I've got Ed McCosh here as well. Ed, just talk me through your feelings, your movements, your everything when Dominic Calvert-Lewin craned his neck and netted that goal in at the end.
I went about 360 degrees, I think. I've never done acrobatics like that in my life. I've got to say, I've got endless respect for my predecessors here who have managed to speak and vocalise their emotions for the last 20-odd minutes, because my head is an absolute mess. And what just happened is beyond comprehension. And I'm sure there'll be people out there today who don't really understand natural atmospheres, who will think that us celebrating like this is weird. And, you know, they'll go back to their manufactured atmospheres and think that we're strange, but you cannot buy
special
moments like that.
So special.
Just unbelievable. And of course we don't want to be in that situation, but everyone coming together for a moment like that is unforgettable. I think the game itself, very much a microcosm of Everton ourselves this season. We dug ourselves into trouble, and yet somehow we pulled it out when the chips were down the most. And while there's so much it needs improving, that spirit and the togetherness from this experience, I hope that whoever stays uses this springboard because we need to get back on the up, and hopefully this is the start of something good.
Right, we've got the lads from Toffee Webby, Paul Israel, Linda Lloyd, Paul, fucking hell, mate. What about that?
Crazy, wasn't it? Yeah. Did you get on the pitch?
Yeah. Do you know what I recorded myself? People who listen to this will know that when I got on the pitch, I went and stood in the spot. Dom scored that header and said, I'm in the spot when he scored the header. So, that was at the point when everyone was getting on.
Yeah.
No laws are broken, I don't think, anyway. But how are you feeling after that, mate?
Amazing. Just like, this year all the way back, you kind of don't know what to say, do you? You just kind of like, just there, just like. Madness, absolute madness. Just the Everton way, isn't it? It's the only way you can get through a game like that. I don't even know how to describe it. It was just absolutely crazy. But half time, you didn't think so, did you? It was everyone was going, you know, crazy.
Linda Lloyd as well, all the way from the West Coast. You come over, mate. You must be absolutely buzzing.
I'm knackered, but I'm buzzing. My voice is fucked. But honestly, the powers of this club's powers of recovery. You know, to pull off another one of those games, you know, to come back from 2-0 down 3-2, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And to have come all this way to experience that is the stuff of dreams. Absolutely fantastic.
Just talk us through, I've said this to you, but talk us through what it was like when Dom craned his head and nodded that goal in by you guys. I mean, I didn't even see at the time who nodded it in or how it got there or who put the cross in, but it was just incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, I have no idea who scored what.
It was Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, we were asking. That one I saw, but I wasn't sure who scored the first. I wasn't sure who scored the second. We were asking each other around us who scored what goal, but yeah, just amazing. Just amazing. I'm lost for words.
Incredible. I'm trying to see. I've got Mark Murray with me again now. I've been around the entire booze, isn't he? What else? The Denby Castle, I mean, it's meant to shut, I think, in about half an hour, but I doubt that's going to happen. But just so nice. We can watch Everton on Sunday about any feeling our stomach. We can watch Leeds and Brentford and wonder who's going to go down as of them two.
The prospect of me watching another football match now before August is quite frankly laughable. This podcast will never end. This pub will never close. This football team will never be relegated.
One player they want to speak about that people are going to be on me, because you know I'm his biggest fan, but we all gave Dom stick after Sunday, didn't we? And we all said, is his heart in it? Is he fit enough? Is he going to be here next year? And I thought even in the first half tonight, when things were going badly, when other players were struggling, when the chips were down, he was the one who was winning ahead. He was bringing people into to play. And whatever happens from now until next season in the summer, when he goes somewhere else, that's, you know, for all the goals he scored in big games and the seasons he's had, that's going to be that lad's legacy now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's as good a performance, even, you know, obviously during his peak, unfortunately, we weren't able to be there and see it, but that's probably up there with the best that I've seen Dominic Calvert-Lewin play. And I think the thing I like about it was, there was really good target play, and also that level of, you know, the energy and that ambition to close people down, like you said. But it wasn't headless. It wasn't just mindless sprinting along the back four like we would have seen from him probably 4 or 5 years ago, when he was absolutely desperate to make any possible impact. I think there was the correct balance of energy and endeavour to close people down and to do that sort of level of the work, but also a realism in knowing that he was on the football pitch to score goals. Do you know what? The beauty of the evening for him is that when he got that one opportunity, and it probably was his only one, he just did what he does best in terms of, you know, you spoke about it when we came out the ground, Matt, in terms of the technique that actually goes into the header.
I didn't realize how good it was since I've just seen it, man. It's behind him, isn't it? He has to crane his neck all the way around to get it.
There is nothing better than an Everton centre forward throwing himself at a ball at the Glover Street when it matters most. And, you know, I said it earlier on, for that reason, that is one of the Everton goals. Every Everton montage you watch before big games in seasons to come is essentially pointless unless it has that goal in it. It is just one of those unbelievable moments. The freedom that we all feel now to go into Sunday, go into the summer, go into the rest of your life without feeling the impending doom of relegation is probably what brings us most joy at the moment, isn't it?
That's it for me. It's not even Sunday that much. It's just being able to go about general things you do with like your friends and your family that have got nothing to do with this football club. Like you said it to me a few times. It's like having like someone who you know who's not well, like there all the time in the background. Like you know, the last few weeks you've been going around, you've been doing bits and pieces, and every now and then it's like you remember the oh shit, Everton could go down here, and it's always present. But you know, to be able to just put it to bed, my God, I mean. The pressure was on tonight, and I have to say, at our time, 2-0, I thought he was dead and buried. I thought he was dead and buried.
Even a 2-1 with still half an hour left, I honestly didn't feel like we had it in us, purely because it all felt like the last 5 minutes had come way too soon.
Yeah.
You know, from a mentality point of view, we were going long, it was panicked, there was no real reasoning about the way we were playing football, and it looked as though we were going into that latter stages mentally a little bit too early. I think, for me, the thing that not only tonight has taught us, but the last 7 or 8 weeks is that, you know, I'm not putting Everton on a pedestal or putting other football teams down, but this whole thing is just very different to what any other football club is. And, you know, again, the fans have not solely dug this football team out, but what we've seen in recent weeks in the stands, in the concourse, on Goodison Road, in the Denby Castle, wherever it is, football fans and football clubs, this is not normal, what we've been able to do over the last few weeks. And again, I'm not saying that we've solely been the catalyst for dragging this out, but I'm not convinced that Everton look like the Everton we know right at this second if it's not for what every single person who's been to a game, be it home or away, listen to a match, watch it on telly, watch it from thousands of miles away, like people like Lindanov. It's just, give me one day of normal Everton.
It will never happen.
It's all we ask for. But, you know, maybe this is normal Everton. You know, maybe the craziness that we've generated.
It'd be crazy if this became the norm, wouldn't it? Like, well, not in these circumstances, yeah, obviously, but yeah, those old feeling that we can make an impact as fans and get behind the team.
And maybe that doesn't look like 15,000 fans being on Goodison Road 3 hours before kickoff, but maybe it does mean that when your centre midfielder plays a misplaced pass in the 40th minute and it doesn't really mean anything, you don't get on his back and you get behind them. And I know that's an incredibly fickle statement to say, if you just get behind the lads and everything will be all right. It's not always like that, but if ever there was a football club that showed you the power of positive mentality, it's been Everton, and it's been Frank Lampard's Everton. And I think that, you know, We took a massive gamble with Frank Lampard in terms of his footballing pedigree and not really having a great deal of it at this level of managerial. But for him to come in and almost become the personification of the feelings of every Evertonian, to be that man who we look at and think, do you know what, you get this. And it's not the be-all and end-all for a manager, because he has to be technically good, he has to know his players, and everything else that comes with being a Premier League manager. But at the time that he came in, and right now, it feels so vital that he was emotionally and personally invested. And, you know, we've just seen the man dancing on top of the director's box at the main stand. In all of the weird that we've seen at this football club, that was right up there. But, you know, everyone, be it in the ground or on the box, will be able to buy into the fact that the fella just cares so much. He cares so much about it. And I'm you know, anyone in a relegation battle is so relieved for all of the obvious reasons, but to be, I think when you invest so much of your life, like so many people have done in recent weeks, it becomes obviously so much more enjoyable. But I think the possibility of going down becomes that much more painful. That's the baggage that we've all taken on our shoulders in recent weeks, and to be able to just throw that in the Mersey tonight is just the most fantastic feeling.
Oh my word. Especially, the only negative is that we won't be able to come back, well, we might not be able to come back here until next season now.
Yeah.
Denby Castle. I mean, any Blues over here, any Blues who've not been to Goodison, if they're going to go out coming over,
and you want a great boozers to go to, get yourself to the Denby Castle. It's absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously, as the Blue Room, made this our spiritual home over recent weeks, much to the detriment of the rest of our families, but I like to think that other pubs and other houses and everywhere in Liverpool is like this at the moment, because it is the picture of joy, and it's just fantastic to see people being able to just drop their shoulders and just sing Spirit of the Blues until 3 a.m.
There we go, and that's what we're going to do. We'll leave it there. What a night. Hope you enjoyed it. Up those toffees.
When you need milk for Zoe and a cold brew for yourself, King Soopers delivery will get you just what you need in as little as 30 minutes. Open the King Soopers app and start your cart, whatever the cart. King Soopers, fresh for everyone. Delivery times not guaranteed. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
When you're a Boost member, you get free delivery, double fuel points, and lots more. Sign up at kingsoopers.com/boost.
Podcast Network.